I'm on. Well, thank you very much, Governor, Dave, Matt, for the opportunity to speak with you this afternoon. Iowa Business Council just is a nonpartisan group of the state's largest company business leaders and the university presidents. And really, the focus here, without reading everything I wrote down on my written submission, is just that we truly value how important government is in providing services and adequately caring for the people of the state. We would submit that a robust, vibrant business community helps make that happen. When people are employed and actively building careers and generating their own wealth, you're able to fill the government coffers more quickly and certainly provide better and more comprehensive services to the state's citizenry. So really our focus in the coming year, and actually in the coming years down the road, is really developing a skilled, knowledgeable, and healthy workforce. And there are three initiatives that we would focus on briefly just to make sure that the attention of policymakers remains focused in this area. Certainly last year, the passage of House File 215, the Major Education Excellence Bill, was really a transformative moment, we think, in the education arena and the state's history generally. We hope that the Department of Education has all the resources necessary that it needs to implement this critical legislation. It really should be a top priority. The goal should be for Iowa students to lead the way in competitively applying learned knowledge, and implementing House File 215 is a big step in this direction. We would also hope that the Governor's STEM Advisory Council, which Lieutenant Governor Reynolds helps lead, would also see the resources it needs to continue forward. The first 2 years' results from this effort have been very impressive, showing great promise in stimulating new and lasting pre-K through 12 interest in science and math-oriented academic studies and career paths. Additionally, the return of the Battelle Technology Partnership Practice, examination and review of Iowa's economic development roadmap, we feel is an important public-private initiative here, not necessarily requiring that much in state resources, but certainly a partnership and a collaboration and a comprehensive look at the state's industry drivers and potential growth opportunities. And we would really hope that focus from both the Department of the Iowa Economic Development Authority, along with the IPEP Board, which you helped chair, Governor, helps drive a very comprehensive review and also does a hard look at what happened 10 years ago in terms of charting an economic course for the state. And finally, the Home Base Iowa Initiative and the Healthiest State Initiative are two what we think are very important public-private activities that – oops, sorry.
Can you wrap it up? 3 minutes.
Is it? Okay. I'll just leave it at that. Home Base Iowa and Healthy Estate Initiative are two additional activities for the state that will help workforce.
Thank you. Very
Thank
much
you.
Okay, great. Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Elizabeth Buck, and I'm here representing United Ways of Iowa, and I'm the Community Impact Director for United Ways of Central Iowa. In fall of 2012, United Way convened a statewide coalition called Skills to Compete. And this group was called together because of a need to upskill Iowans for the better jobs and increase their family wages. This coalition was made up of key employers from four different sectors: advanced manufacturing, healthcare, financial services, and energy, and community partners and community colleges. And we came to you in last January and asked for your investment in basic education for adults, pathway navigators, and supporting sector partnerships, and you delivered. Thank you, Governor, for your new investment totaling $10.5 million, which will support adult basic education and pathways for academic careers and employment PACE programs to help more Iowans to be prepared with basic skills and to enter credit-bearing programs. This work has been really instrumental, and just in the first few months that we've had this funding, we're already seeing a big change here in our community in Central Iowans. Just Friday afternoon, well, actually, it's Friday morning. I got to work about 7:30, and there were over 300 Iowans in line at the Urban campus for English language learning. These were adults who were looking for help to get back on their feet, to get to a career pathway for jobs. And this additional dollars for adult basic education and English language learners will really make a difference as we see these needs in our communities for adults to get upskilled. This work will help the 290,000 working-age adults in our community who don't have a GED or high school diploma. And currently, as you know, we're about 60% of our jobs in this state are what are called middle-skill jobs. So workers need more than a high school degree to be eligible for these jobs that are out there. And currently, only 33% of our workforce here in Iowa have the skills necessary for these jobs. So we are very excited about the public-private partnership that we have put together called the Skills to Compete Coalition. And with this strong employer-led partnership and your leadership around this work, we are confident that we can continue to see strong results in breaking this gap of skilled workers. Thank you very much.
My name is Cherie Mortiz, a retired teacher from Des Moines, and I'm a proud member of Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement Action Fund. I'd like to begin my comments by emphatically stating, Governor Branstad, you have mismanaged our state budget by giving away hundreds of millions of dollars in unnecessary commercial property tax cuts to out-of-state corporations rather than fully funding vital public services that everyday people and hardworking families depend on. Rather than turn around and hand out even more unnecessary tax cuts to Iowa's wealthiest citizens and big corporations, we expect state legislators to reinvest in programs and state agencies so we are fully funding good government to stand up for the common good and the general welfare. Governor Branstad, you want to pretend that big corporations are paying too much in taxes. Well, we say prove it. Pass a Corporate Tax Transparency Act that requires every public company doing business in Iowa to disclose what they actually pay in taxes. We already know that many out-of-state corporations like Walmart and McDonald's don't pay state income taxes in Iowa. We need a budget that closes corporate tax loopholes rather than opening them up even wider. Big corporations that do business in our state need to pay their fair share. By bringing in more revenue, we can afford to reinvest in infrastructure, roads and bridges, wage theft investigators, factory farm field staff, publicly financed campaigns, and education for all. Federal deductibility is another loophole that only benefits Iowa's wealthiest citizens, and we should end it. We call on you, Governor Branstad, to drop the optional flat tax proposal and stand with all Iowans, not just the rich. Iowa taxpayers are also heavily subsidizing factory farm pollution. Corporate factory farms receive huge tax breaks every year on manure pits, feed, and electricity. Here in Des Moines, people like me are forced to pay more for clean water, and that isn't right. This needs to change. End tax breaks for factory farms, reinvest in resilient, sustainable agriculture. Let's use the savings to help young farmers, women farmers, and immigrants get back on the land. And a gas tax increase? Let's get real, Governor. If we end tax breaks for factory farms, we save $350 million per year, which is more than enough to fix the roads. It's time for a people first Iowa. Governor Branstad, it's time to put communities before corporations and people before profits and polluters.
Hi, my name is Forrest LePrad. I'm a 7th grader at Central Academy and a youth member of the Green Ribbon Commission of the Iowa Parks Foundation. First of all, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen to me. Governor Branstad and Congressman Smith started the Iowa Parks Foundation to advocate for Iowa's park system, including state parks, county parks, and all other parks. Governor Branstad then appointed the Green Ribbon Commission to do five things. Study park use by Iowans, find out what Iowans want from their parks, evaluate the current condition of our parks, develop a strategic plan for the 21st century park system, and develop a plan to celebrate the 100th year anniversary of our state park system in 2020. The Green Ribbon Commission has fulfilled this mission, working closely with the Iowa Parks Foundation, DNR, Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation, countless county parks representatives, and other parks constituencies. We have discovered that Iowa's demographics are changing, that the day-to-day demands on parks are changing, and that what Iowans expect in their parks is also changing. Iowa led the nation in the 1920s in developing state parks. Iowa led the nation in the 1950s in developing a county park system. Now Iowans expect our entire park system to lead the nation again, serving the needs of families, kids, retired persons, outdoor enthusiasts, and sportsmen in the 21st century, maximizing all available resources we have accumulated in the past 100 years. And as a positive step in that direction, Iowans should expect the Green Ribbon Commission to issue a strategic plan in 2014. And my colleague Henry Gunderson is going to speak more about this later today, and thank you for your time.
Good afternoon. Matt Steinfeld with the Iowa Farm Bureau. Farm Bureau members support a fiscally responsible state budget and would like to commend the governor and the bipartisan Iowa legislature on their sound budgeting practices during the past few sessions. An area of particular interest is the state's ending fund balance. Based on sound budgeting principles, Farm Bureau members believe that this one-time money should be used for one-time expenditures and should not be used for ongoing expenses. This will be the third year that the legislature and the governor will be working with the surplus, which is estimated to be at least $750 million after the state's cash reserve fund, economic emergency fund, and the taxpayer trust fund are all full. Last year, approximately $210 million of the ending fund balance was spent, and was spent correctly on one-time expenditures, as opposed to being used for ongoing expenses. Included in these expenditures were water quality and soil conservation programs. The governor and the legislature invested over $20 million of one-time money in the Iowa Nutrient Reduction Strategy, the Conservation Cost Share Program, and the Ag Drainage Well Closure Program. Farm Bureau members were very pleased to see the governor and the legislature's commitment to helping farmers continue to advance these programs. Virtually all of these one-time funds have been spoken for, and each program they're used in requires matching funds from farmers, which means that at least an additional $20 million of farmer money is invested in all these practices. This year, Farm Bureau members are asking the governor and the legislature to build on last year's accomplishments by continuing to invest in the following areas. Replenish the $10 million of one-time money in the Iowa Nutrient Reduction Strategy. Invest additional one-time money to eliminate the $18.5 million backlog of unfunded conservation cost share requests across the state. And utilize one-time money to help close the remaining ag drainage wells. Just like last year, all of these programs operate on a cost-share basis, and these funds will all be matched at least dollar for dollar by farmers across the state. As the 2014 session begins, and the governor and the legislature determine how the ending fund balance should be spent, Farm Bureau members will again encourage our state leaders to use this money for one-time expenditures, including additional investments in water quality and soil conservation programs. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Governor and staff. Thank you for this time to speak about Iowa Jobs for America's graduates. As you may know, Governor, already that Iowa Jobs for America's graduates is the only nonprofit organization in Iowa that was specifically created as a bipartisan public-private partnership with a laser focus on implementing a national model to increase graduation rates and reduce dropout rates, especially among some of Iowa's most high-risk kids. Since our creation, we've leveraged private dollars to match the state dollars that you have also included in your budget. And as a result, we've grown the program to serving over 15,000 students over the past 13 years. We have a waiting list of schools of over more than 30 that are interested in us growing the numbers of students that we're working with, and primarily because we've got them to believe that if they can graduate from high school, there's opportunities for them to enter into careers that the Lieutenant Governor's helping us to increase awareness about related to STEM. So we're very excited about the past support, Governor, that you provided for Iowa Jobs for America's graduates. It has helped us to leverage a lot of private sector support, community support from several of the folks that are in here today. We've got a demand, and we're going to ask you to help us continue to grow this program across the state in some of our most needy communities and schools. We are having great results. Last year, we graduated 93% of our high-risk kids. We've got more than 27% first-generation post-secondary students entering from across the state of Iowa, entering into continued education with support of you and the legislature, and we're very excited about your continued support for IJAG, too, Governor. Thank you.
Governor, Mr. Director, Mr. Chief of Staff, I'm Mike Ralston with the Iowa Association of Business and Industry. You know our group. I won't go into a long deal about that. We appreciate and are grateful for your support for manufacturing and for business all across this state. I had some prepared remarks, but I'm going to talk about three things real quickly. The first is objective sources have rated this state as one of the best managed in the country. That's a big deal. Our group appreciates and understands your leadership role in that, Governor. We appreciate the help you receive from members of the General Assembly of both parties, and it's a big deal. It has real tangible impacts on people in this state, and we appreciate it. Thank you, Governor. Second, I am going to talk briefly about a couple specific budget issues. One is there was an effort on the part of the Iowa Department of Revenue last legislative session to clarify Iowa's sales and use tax laws that apply to equipment and supplies used in the manufacturing process. That was a terrific move. A bill passed the House 99-0. Time ran out before the bill could be considered in the Senate. We hope that happens this year. In the overall scheme of things, it has a minor impact on the state government, but it will be in the low to mid eight figures, but we hope that'll happen. Second, we believe the Air Quality Bureau of the Department of Natural Resources may need more funds. We've talked at length with your staff about that, so they have a lot of information about that. We hope you'll look at that. And I know, too, that all these things in connection with the entire state budget are not big things, but when you add them up, they could be. We hope that, and we know that you'll resist efforts on the part of a number of folks to increase the entire state budget without respect to looking at effectiveness of programs and that sort of thing. But mostly, Governor, we appreciate your leadership. Thanks very, very much.
Good afternoon. I serve as the CEO of the Iowa Primary Care Association, whose members are the 14 federally qualified health centers in Iowa. The Iowa Primary Care Association also manages the Iowa Safety Net Network, which was established in 2005 and represents a broad array of safety net healthcare providers from across the state. We appreciate the opportunity to speak during this hearing and thank Governor Branstad and the staff for the invitation. We have been studying and are now implementing a new delivery model that involves community care teams designed to serve the most at-risk patients and bring together the various health and other service providers in a community with the goal of providing care in a better coordinated manner. The care coordination activities of the community care team are directed to addressing the determinants of health, which are being recognized as very significant drivers of healthcare costs. A funding opportunity for two communities to receive funding to pilot the implementation of community care teams was approved in the 2013 legislature. 15 communities responded to the request for information, and 8 were selected to make a proposal. The two proposals funded were in Webster County and Cerro Gordo County. Each received funding to develop and implement an integrated health care delivery approach that empowers patients by building local partnerships and connecting patients with community resources to address barriers faced in the accessing care. These barriers may include transportation, housing, literacy, access to food, and on. Services provided by the two regions will include, but are not limited to, targeted disease management, in care interventions, addressing gaps in care, patient education, self-management support, transitions of care, pharmacy management, and behavioral health management. We see the inclusion of community care teams as a necessary part of a reformed system, delivery system, and infrastructure the infrastructure to achieve gains in quality and cost effectiveness necessary to manage Medicaid and safety net patients is and must involve a broader subset of resources, such as long-term care, disability services, public health agencies, behavioral health and substance providers, and other community-based providers. The governor's 2015 budget does not include the continued funding for the communities who were selected for the six-month projects and the 6 months of operation in 13, and they will be operational from in January to June. We respectfully request that funding be included in the 2015 budget. Eventually, community care teams must be supported by the new payment models being considered in the state and innovation. In the meantime, the piloting of these efforts will provide the opportunity to demonstrate value and their place in the reform delivery system.
And how much are you requesting?
There's 300, probably a million one, 300 and some for each of the two communities, and there's a state fund. No, it would just be 600,000 because there's a state fund that won't, the state piece of it that won't increase, so probably 600,000.
Thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity to speak here. My words will be, I'm a member of a CCI Action Fund, and what I want to speak about is the need for a corporate tax transparency. Right now, it's more like corporate tax secrecy in the state of Iowa. So it's important that the state move from secrecy to transparency, that people really know what each corporation, how much each corporation is paying in state income tax. Not guess at it or think about, I wonder who is giving, but a way that out-of-state corporations will have to reveal to the general population exactly how many dollars they've paid in state income tax. There should be a way that the general public can go to a list and get every corporation in the state, and right there it says how many dollars they paid in state income tax this past year. That's what should be. So the state needs to make an effort to actually make that possible. Now, how does this relate to the budget? Big time it relates to the budget. Because right now people know, but they don't have, they can't say, here it is. Walmart paid nothing. I am paying $2,000. The general public uproar that would happen if this was made to the public would make it sure that these people would be paying into the revenue, into the coffers of the state of Iowa. So that's why I'm here. So I'm asking the state, instead of trying to keep it a secret, let's make it transparent.
Thank you. Thank you for your presentation. Dave Duncan.
Thank you, Governor, Mr. Director, Mr. Chief of Staff. My name is Dave Duncan, CEO of the Iowa Communications Alliance. I am here today to applaud you, Governor, on your efforts to connect every Iowan. I do believe that this is important enough, this entire initiative, so that we should dedicate a substantial amount of state resources to address some of the indications and recommendations coming out of the Broadband Committee, the report that you saw that was entered into earlier this month. Just a little history, if I can. Our organization, the Iowa Communications Alliance, was formed last month after we're in the process of dissolving the 117-year-old Iowa Telecommunications Association, merging it with the Rural Iowa Independent Telephone Association. So we're here today on behalf of the Iowa Communications Alliance, which represents 130 locally owned and operated communications experts in Iowa who provide innovative and affordable high-speed internet, digital TV, and telephone service through wireline and wireless networks. But I think we can all understand the importance of broadband and or high-speed internet to our daily lives, our communications, and our social lives, and our businesses. I'd venture to guess that most of us in this room today have multiple devices that have the capability to connect to the internet. At home, especially if we have kids, We may have a dozen or more devices that connect to the internet, from phones to computers to TVs to DVDs to DVRs, game boxes, security systems, home monitoring systems. It would be hard to imagine losing that access, and it's difficult to imagine that we have a lot of Iowans who are not yet connected and cannot make those connections. We've all seen also that there can be no economic development or job growth without robust or affordable broadband access. Areas without broadband cannot compete, innovate, or succeed in tomorrow's economy. This is especially important to our rural areas, some of which are struggling economically. As Lieutenant Governor Reynolds told a crowd of economic developers earlier this week, connectivity is the great equalizer in rural areas. So as we talk about connecting every Iowan, we believe that our companies, the locally owned and operated companies in Iowa, are well positioned to take the lead. There are some barriers that have caused us to not build out to every Iowan. Otherwise, it would have been done. If it was cheap, if it was easy, it would have been done. But there are substantial costs to build out to those unserved and underserved Iowans. So the Connect Every Iowan recommendations do include some ideas to offset and address those costs, and we believe that is a very important component. We also believe it's very important for the state to be involved in the digital literacy programs so that people who might be customers of the broadband services actually can become customers. We've seen some studies that show that a lot of people, many of the people who don't currently subscribe to internet, don't subscribe, not because they don't have access, it's because they don't see the relevance of being on the internet or connecting. So we think that there are some programs that have been discussed and some recommendations that have been made that you can support on the digital literacy side that help with job force development and help with internet growth overall. Thank you, Governor.